Amen. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And I'm going to be reading out of the New King James. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are pruned. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
By this, my Father is glorified,
yes, thank you,
that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Thank you, Father, for your word. Father, we thank you, Lord, that as this word goes forth, Lord, that you would transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't God good?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Before I just jump into the message, I just want to say I had these thoughts kind of come to me, and so I'm still going to kind of, I'm not planning on preaching a Father's Day message, full disclosure, but I did want to share a couple of things to the men that are in the house.
Amen.
Okay? And before I jump into John chapter 15. The Holy Spirit dropped this in my heart and said, sometimes we as fathers don't often know, well, what's a healthy, spiritually healthy father supposed to look like? What does that look like? And I was meditating on that, and as I was praying, the Lord just kind of dropped this into my heart. He said, if a man, a champion of God, a believer, who's a father, if he wants to be healthy, then number one, he's got to have faith first. Faith has to be number one before his own selfishness. Faith has to be number one. And then that just kind of reminds me of what Exodus 20 verse 3 says, you shall have no other gods before me. That's including anything, right? Nothing. First commandment, right? No other gods before me. In other words, number one, you're number one, Lord. So faith has to come first. The second thing that the Lord dropped in my heart was that they need to be family focused. Family focused. I'm talking about a healthy father. Family focused. Connecting with your family, with your spouse, with your kids. You have a responsibility to be family focused. And then the third thing that he dropped in my heart is that men, you got to be fierce fighters. And I'm not talking about physically fighting. Now, some of you might have done that in a previous life. Okay. But I'm talking about, will you fight in the spirit? Will you contend in the spirit for things to lead your family? Regardless of, as I said in my prayer for you today, regardless of your age or stage in life, regardless of your age or stage, you have a responsibility to have faith first, right? You have a responsibility to be family focused. You have a responsibility to be a fierce fighter in the spirit. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but you know your weapons.
Yeah.
Right? You know your weapons. If you've ever taken any kind of self-defense or martial art or anything like that in your life, you realize there are certain weapons, there are certain things at your tools that you have at your disposal. Well, the Holy Ghost has given you men some things to be champion fighters in the spirit. You can be champion fighters in the spirit. And don't just relegate it to Reverend Ennis and to me or to the spiritual ones, the leaders of the church. No, no, no. That is every man who calls himself a believer. That is your responsibility to be a fierce fighter. And your family will thank you and love you for it. The fourth thing that the Lord dropped in my heart was he said, you need to be a faithful fixer. I'm not talking about like the stuff you see on TV that the attorney was called the fixer. I'm not talking about that shady kind of stuff. I'm talking about that you bring solutions to the table to your family.
Yes.
That you actually do your best when a problem comes up, that you don't just ignore it. Now, man, I know, because I am one, the tendency is to lull yourself to sleep or to distract yourself and not bring a solution to the table. All right? I'm just telling you, I'm going to call it like it is.
Yeah.
Adam did the same thing in the garden. Mm-hmm. He was to keep and dress the garden. He was to guard and protect the garden.
Yeah.
And when the snake came in, he just sat there.
Yeah.
Passive. So men, you are to be a faithful fixer. That means you involve God and you bring those problems, those things that your family faces, even if you're a grandfather, even if you're a father from a distance, even if you have adult children, that is your responsibility to be the one who brings and finds a solution and injects, hey, I'm praying about that. If that's all you can do, man, that's what you do. I'm praying for that situation. Faithful fixer. And then the last thing that the Lord dropped in my heart for you men was that you were to be fast forgivers. No man needs to be hanging on to a grudge.
That's good stuff.
No man needs to be hanging on to a grudge. It'll make you bitter, old, and angry before your time. It might even shorten your life. Fast forgiver. Fast. You let it go. You let it go. You say, but you don't know what they did. You let it go.
Yes.
Because you thank God for what he did for you, right?
Absolutely.
Amen. 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 I did not plan to do that. I did not plan to give that to you, but that is for you men that are here.
That's good.
Amen.
And I applaud you as champions. And I believe every one of us can live up to these. Every one of us. And if we have areas that we need to work on, then we need to just lean on each other a little bit. Hey, you seem to be really good at forgiving. Hey, brother, can we talk? Can we have coffee?
Yeah.
You seem to be good at forgiving. You don't let stuff bother you. Or, hey, you seem to be really good at connecting with your family. Can I kind of learn some things from you? Guys, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Amen? All right. Well, praise God. I'm good with that. Okay. Ooh. All right. Take a big deep breath. Come on, guys. Take a big deep breath. You good?
Yeah.
Do I got some champions in the room along with some champion ladies? Right? Right?
Made it to the playoffs, right?
Amen. 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 That 35-45% playoffs. Got the pennant. Praise God. But I got champions in the room. Amen. John chapter 15. Jesus, in verse 1, says, I am the true vine. Now, we've been talking about the Magnificent Seven. This is not going to take too long, so if you're looking at the clock, you're getting nervous. Pastor, you're going long. You're going long. Okay. You're making me nervous, Pastor. You're making me nervous. All right? No. It's all right. It's all right, because we can get what God wants us to have. We don't have to, spend an eternity doing it. We can get it. Are you guys ready to get it?
Yeah.
Okay, because I believe God has stuff for us, and I'm going to call it stuff. I know I usually use that word a little too much, but he's got stuff, and it's good stuff, all right? It's good stuff.
stuff.
Really good stuff. Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God. I'm excited.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you just wake up and you just got to stir yourself up.
Come on.
And when you get yourself stirred up, man, I'll tell you, that's
contagious.
That's contagious, and man, it helps you.
Yeah.
Amen. It helps you. Here we go. All right. So we're talking about the seven I am statements. I call them the Magnificent Seven, right? And so we're going to, you know, very quickly just remind you of them. All right. Every one of the I am statements, they have power, they have meaning, and you need to apply them to your life. You know, when Jesus said that he was the bread of life, remember that? He said, I am the bread of life. And then right after that, he said, I am the light of the world. And this is all in John chapter, different chapters, right? He said, I am the light of the world. So if you're in darkness in any area, just turn on the light, right? And then the third one, you can go ahead and put the third one up for me, please. The third one, he said, I am the door. In other words, I'm the entry point. I'm the starting point. Men, that is the starting point. Young men that are in here, that's the starting point. It is the starting point. And he says, I am the door. He said, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd of all shepherds, right? You don't need to find another one. I'm the shepherd of all shepherds. I'm the good one. I'm the good one. And then he goes on to say, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. Man, I'll tell you what. The resurrection, that's power. That's power. Everybody wants to feel that sense of power. There's an innate longing for us men especially to want that. But I believe ladies want that too. They want to feel like, okay, I've got something. Well, Jesus is the resurrection power, and he lives on the inside of us. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Last week, we looked at number 6. I am the way. Not a way. This is Jesus' exclusive claim. He's not a way. He's not a good idea. He's not a good philosophy. He is the way.
Yes.
The way.
Thank you, Jesus.
There is no other way. If you try to find it on your own, you are going to wreck. Mm-hmm. And your life will be a wreck.
Yeah.
But if you want to find life, he says, I'm the truth.
Praise God.
I'm the truth. And I am the Zoe, the God quality kind of life. Yes. The Magnificent Seven sayings of who Jesus is. It reveals to us who our Heavenly Father is.
Yeah.
And so today we're looking at I am the vine and you are the branches.
Okay.
So I have here a little illustration. I looked for a tomato plant this morning.
Ooh.
There goes a tomato. All right. For those of you that are kind of like, you know, you're kind of like nerdy geeks and you like to research things. Tomatoes are not really vegetables. Did you know they're actually fruit?
Yes.
So that's just for fun. They're actually fruit. And so that Italian recipe for that sauce that sits on the stove is really fruit sauce.
Okay.
Just saying. A little more sugar and it's jam. So... But as I was, I wanted you to see that this little cluster of tomatoes, and this is fruitful, right? These are really, this is my favorite when you can get a good tomato that's like this, not that pink color, that hard pink color. It has no taste, pasty in your mouth.
Yeah.
No. This is the kind of the ones that. Or when they're fresh. And for a little while, we used to have a garden at our house. And man, it was great. We had tomatoes, and the kids, I remember the kids would come home from school and they would go graze and start pulling off the little ones, you know, off the vine. And Jesus said he was the vine.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we're the branches. And he said, without him, we could do nothing. And the illustration that kind of I see is if I broke this branch off right now, there we go. This is a small branch. Maybe that's how you feel sometimes. but that's all right, you know. But when you break it off, do you think this is ever going to produce fruit? Anybody
no.
in here think no, this is going to produce fruit?
Nope.
No. There's no life source, is there?
No.
There's nothing that connects this to the life source. Nothing. And Jesus said there, he said, I am the true vine. I like that. I'm the true vine. I'm not the fake one. I'm not the imposter. I'm not the, you know, the clone or the black market, you know, fake bag, you know. I'm the real thing. I'm the real thing. He says, I am the true vine. Now, verse 2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit,
yep.
he takes away. Who is he talking about? Well, verse 1, he says that God's the vine dresser. Okay, so that means God actually is the one who's looking at the vine. He's watching over the vine. And I began to do a little research on what does a real true vine dresser do? Well, they protect. They protect the vine. They prop it up sometimes. They build structures to keep it in place. During the off season, if you will, during the winter season when there's not a lot of fruit going on, they will put things in place. They'll put structures in place because they know that growth is coming.
That's right. That's right.
They know growth is coming and they'll put structures, things in place to handle the weight of the fruit.
Come on. Good.
I believe I'm speaking prophetically to this church. So there are things that God is going to put in place while we have the opportunity to put things in place so that it can handle the fruitfulness. Because he wants to, he's the vine dresser. And it says that he, notice what it says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. He just takes that away and says, okay, there's no fruit on that. Nope, I'm not doing that one. And he says, and he prunes it that it might bear more fruit. And that's one of the things that we learned those years that we had a garden. And it was fun. You learned that if you cut off certain things, right, that more would grow. It was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I cut that one off and now we have more. We have more, right? What are we doing? We're dressing the vine. And so then he goes on. He says, I am the vine. And then, wait, hang on. Verse, abide in me and I in you. And that is verse 4. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me.
Yeah.
So the branch can't bear fruit by itself. Mm-hmm. It's got to be connected.
Yep.
Turn to your neighbor and say, connected.
Connected.
There has to be a connection to the life source. And Jesus is the life source. So when we're looking at this, you have to understand that he is that source. He is the one who gives that life in the vine. He is the one. He is the one who's giving that life source. That the nutrients are going to the bud, to the flower, right? Producing the fruit that we can enjoy. And so Jesus is that. He is that life source. He is that life source. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. So he goes on and he says this. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches, right? So in order to abide in the true vine, how do we do that? Well, understand that he is the authentic one. That's the first point I want you to get. Jesus is the authentic one. He's the real one. And his vine, he, the vine, imparts to its branches that sap, that productiveness. So Christ infuses his followers with his own divine strength and life. I'm going to read that again because I almost did a happy dance when I came across this phrase. Christ infuses into his followers. Do I have any followers in here?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That means you're connected to the vine.
There you go.
You're one of the branches, right? And it says here, he infuses into his followers his own, come on people, his own divine strength.
Praise the Lord.
His own divine strength and life. And the vine dresser is the grower. He's the one who comes and he provides maintenance. He prunes. He is very, very careful about the timing of when he prunes, what he cuts off. He is the one who actually promotes healthy growth. He's the one who's actually bringing those structures into place. He shapes the vine to optimize exposure to the sun so that there's air circulation. He helps prevent disease. Glory to God. Be free from disease in Jesus' name. He encourages uniform ripening of the fruit. He monitors maintenance. He gets rid of the pests.
Thank you, Jesus.
He waters. He irrigates so that there's not too much in one place. He has the timing just right for the harvest. Hallelujah. He is the one who will carefully guide the harvest so that there's no damage to the vine. I'm talking about a natural vine dresser. How much more our heavenly Father? He is the one who removes the fruit to be stored and preserved. He is the one who actually removes it and enjoys it. And so the vine dresser's role is to ensure the health of the vine, the productivity of the vine. Hallelujah. And it says here that he takes up. In other words, he takes up, he tears away, he removes those things that don't produce fruit. Well, that kind of made me think a little bit. Well, what does pruning mean? The word pruning in the Greek language is actually cleansing. It's cleansing. Do you get that? What does the blood of Jesus do for us?
Cleanses us.
The word he prunes is not just, oh, he cuts it off and lops it off. He cleanses. There is a cleansing that goes on. Jesus is the source of our life, and God is the vine dresser.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus declares himself as the true vine. He is the one who does that. And just as a gardener prunes a vine to promote healthy growth and fruitfulness, God removes unhealthy habits or influences in our lives to help us grow.
Yes.
If we'll let him. That's why you have to abide.
Yes.
What does the word abide mean? Well, the word abide means to live in, to find your sustenance, your nourishment, to actually stay there.
Mm-hmm.
To stay connected to the vine. Hallelujah. And so he says, meno, that's the Greek word for abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides.
Yes.
Abides in me. I am the vine and you are the branches.
Yeah.
The branches are the tender shoots, the ones that come out and are designed by God to produce fruit. So how do we do that, Pastor? Well, you need to cultivate a daily relationship with Christ through prayer, through Bible reading. We've got a summer Bible reading program going on, right? Reading the scripture, obeying what his still small voice tells us. Recognize fruitfulness in our lives comes from staying connected to Jesus. Never think, oh, I'm just all that and a bag of chips. When you start thinking, well, I'm talented, they should just recognize I'm talented, whoever they are. Whether it's your workplace, whatever you find yourself in. Well, they should just recognize how good I am. You're not all that in a bag of chips. You're not. Because without him, you can do
nothing.
Right? And I looked that Greek, that word up in the Greek. Nothing means
nothing.
So the moment you think you can do something, you can do nothing. Anything good in me that you've seen in me, it's because of Christ.
Amen.
So that's how we do it. We just stay connected. Turn to your neighbor and say, stay connected.
Stay connected.
Hallelujah. You know, a branch disconnected, if we wait long enough, the green color out of this is going to go brown.
Yes, that's right.
It's going to get crunchy, and it's not going to be worth anything.
That's right.
Stay connected. Stay connected. A branch disconnected from a vine withers, dies. But see, without a daily intimate connection with Christ, your life spiritually will become dry and unproductive. Mm-hmm. But you can stay productive by abiding in the vine, right? So the results of abiding in the vine, well, what happens? Well, let's look at verse 7 and 8. If, that's an if. Whenever there's an if, that means you have a choice.
That's right.
You have a choice here. Turn to your neighbor and say, I got a choice.
I got a choice.
If you abide in me,
and
my words abide in you. I was really thrilled when I looked up the word words. You know what it is? Rhema.
No.
The spoken word. Not just, oh, I heard the word, but now it comes out of you and you speak that word.
Yes.
So if you abide in me and my words, my rhema, abides in you. That means it has action, it speaks out, and it speaks faith. Ooh. Some of you are getting this. And I'm glad, because this is good. This is good. And this will get you to do a little happy dance if you think about it. If you abide, that means stay connected. My words abide. Ask. Now you have faith.
Glory.
Ask.
Yes.
Ask.
Yes.
Who says what? Come boldly before the throne of grace.
How do you come boldly? Because you've abided in the vine. You're not coming crawling in.
Yes.
All right.
You're not worried God's going to do something. You're not worried about, oh, I better not go to God. Because you're not afraid of him.
No.
Not in the terror, fear sense.
Yes.
You have a fear of God that is a respect and an honor. Yes. And you get to go. You get to go into the throne room of grace.
Glory to God.
And you get to obtain help and mercy, being treated better than you deserve.
Amen.
And help in that time of need.
Thank you, Lord.
I love it. I love it. He says this. He says, ask what you wish and it'll be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified. That you bear much fruit. Fruit to be enjoyed. Abiding in Christ leads to answered prayer. A life that glorifies God. People look at you and say, man, I saw you going through a difficult situation, but I saw how God turned it around. I saw how God turned it around. I saw how God turned it around. Every trial that you've ever been through, every situation, every problem, every kind of thing. You guys know, we live in this world, right?
Yes.
But man, I'll tell you what, he overcame.
Yes.
He overcame, and if we'll abide in him, we've got that same power living on the inside of us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Ask what you will. Ask. Ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. In fact, that word it comes into being. It becomes, it happens, because you've asked in faith. Because you have those rhema words down on the inside, you're speaking them out loud. Lord, we thank you that a building comes to this church.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. When I drive around, even remotely looks like it could be a church, you ask my wife, that'll make a mighty fine Westchester Family Church.
Yes. Yes.
I'm looking at buildings with vision. I'm not looking at buildings with a dollar price tag. I don't even care what
the price tag is. I'm just driving around going, okay, what's the next step?
step for us, God. This is not the step.
Yeah.
So I'm driving by the by a couple.
Come on.
Got a realtor. What am I doing? Action steps. Yeah. What can you do to give God something to work with so we can watch God do the miraculous in our midst? Ask what you will. You abide in the vine. If you take yourself out of the vine, you're not going to produce any fruit.
Come on.
And the vine dresser says, he's going to come along and he's going to snip it off. He wants you to be fruitful. He's giving you the tools to be fruitful. We can do this. We can do this. Amen? So today, I'm just asking you to deepen your relationship with Christ. Go deeper this summer. Don't coast. Don't coast. Don't wait until the fall. Oh, now it's the fall. Oh, yeah. Don't coast with your relationship with God. Don't coast with your relationship with God. But just say, okay, God, I'm going to read the Gospels. And as I read the Gospels, I thank you, Lord, that I'm abiding in the vine. I'm hearing your voice.
I'm getting to know what my Heavenly Father is like. And I get to know him better so that when those rhema words drop in
my spirit.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Lord, I thank you.
Thank
you. You need a car? Your car's broken? You need a car.
Okay.
All right? Those rhema words come. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. You need a job? You have a there's a job, right? That God
will open up a job for you, right? If you just start
believing and start saying and start speaking, because rhema words are
words that are spoken, not just.
That's right.
That's right.
I'm waiting on God. That's how sometimes people, believers, look. What you doing? Waiting on God. What's coming out of your mouth? Are you connected? Stay abiding in the vine. Man, this is good. And we can do this. You can do this in your own personal life. As a church, we can see God fill this house.
Hallelujah.
Sister Avril had a dream. And she was over in that back section right over there. And she saw that Sister Sonia had to move her coat in order to make room for the people. Because the house was filling up.
Hallelujah.
It's filling up. Say, it's filling up!
Filling up!
Father, thank you for your word. Help us, Father God, to stay connected to you, the life source. Jesus, be glorified in our midst. Right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, or you've been away from him, we want to give you an opportunity to come back to God or to be born again by the Spirit of God. And if that's you and you need to just come back to him, or you need to receive Christ into your life, if you're watching online, you can pray with us and God will meet you right where you're at. You know, he loves you that much. He loves you that much. So right now, if that's you, I want you to raise up your hand and say, I need to either come to Christ or recommit my life to him. Is there anybody? Thank you. Let's just pray this simple prayer out loud together right now. Just mean it in your heart. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead for me. That he died for my sins, that he lives forevermore. I receive his forgiveness in Jesus' name, and I call Jesus my Lord, my Savior from this day on. I confess him before men so that he will confess me before my Father in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer with us for the first time, or maybe it was a recommitment, we want to know about it. You can message us through Facebook. And we just want to minister to you. If you need a home church, welcome home. Right here at 27 Radio Circle. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are here and those that are watching today. Let's stand, if we're not already standing, and we're just going to have our sending out verse right now. And it says, the Lord shall...